This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from my remote location in the great state of Texas. The lead stories are Netflix testing ads between show episodes, hacking your all-in-one printer's fax machine, searching Bing, has it lost its way? And women gamers are the honeypot for cash. I want to welcome you to episode 1307 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, August 20th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You too can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/Insider. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners and, of course, all the existing Ohana members, for those of you who are part of the family here at Geek News Central. I want all of you to take time, especially you new listeners, to get over to geeknewscentral.com. And when you're on the website, make sure you subscribe to the show and the newsletter. You can watch this show on your Apple TV, or you can listen to it at blueberry.com. You can use your smart home device, use the keyword to launch it, and say, play the podcast Geek News Central. Getting subscribed on the home site get you guaranteed to get connected to us at all times, either be Google Podcasts, on iTunes, on TuneIn, on Spotify, you name it, we've got it for you to be able to get subscribed to the show. If we were live, our live show is always held at live.geeknewscentral.com or on Facebook. You can join our chat room at geeknews.chat or on Slack. You can contact me via email at geeknews@gmail.com or on Twitter at geeknews. We want you to follow. Please follow me on Facebook. Just search for my name, Todd Cochran. Partner shows include the Gadget Professor, the Pro Gear site, New Media Show, Podcast Legends. All those shows can be found at geeknewscentral.com. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. This show has the longest-running continuous sponsor of a podcast. They would hold the world record for that, if there was such a thing. But we want to thank our sponsors at GoDaddy.com. You need to get over to GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy to find all the great deals. As a reminder, the promo codes that you see on that page at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy are changing as of September 1st. You've got 10 days to utilize the codes that are on that website before the deals all change. So get over there and you get a 99cent.com, get 30% off a product purchase, pick up a hosting account for $1 a month, including a free domain. Or if you're a business owner, check out the website builder opportunity that's available on the website. We want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. Make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. If you're part of our Ohana, part of our family of listeners here, share my codes with your family, friends, people that you know, co-workers. Sharing my codes and sharing the link to that website with people that you know is equivalent of making a donation to the website as an insider. So make sure you do that. Every purchase counts. Every new GoDaddy customer is what really allows me to continue to do what I do here, keeping the lights on, keeping the team paid. Lights on, furniture, insurance paid up, and all that stuff. So anyway, we want to thank GoDaddy for being our sponsor here at Geek News Central, and we want to thank all our insiders who are continuing to support the show with their monthly donations. As a reminder here, I am on travel. As I said at the beginning of the show, I'm in Texas. My flight out to Texas was uneventful, I guess. Except for the guy that was sitting beside me, and a Korean guy sitting beside me, and he decided he wanted to take my half of the seat. I was in coach, and as you can imagine, that it was quite uncomfortable, so I had to keep kind of like pushing him back into his side of the chair to the point of having to give him what we in Hawaii call stink eye. I didn't have to say anything to him. I just looked at him and gave him the look, and he kind of behaved himself from that point forward, but flew into Los Angeles, then changed airplanes, was there for a couple hours, I was in San Francisco, can't think of where I landed at, and then I flew into Austin, got into Austin early, 5:30 in the morning. I don't think I've landed at a destination when it was still dark in years, to be honest with you. I usually fly out later in the evening and get in midday, but not this trip. So anyway, I'm here in Texas. And to be honest with you, today is a little bit of a jet lag day. First day, as you know, I did took a little nap after I got in. Didn't sleep that well on the airplane. Was able to check into the hotel right away. So, but very, very full day today here. I'm actually getting the show started about 30 minutes ahead of my normal time. And what's freaking me out is it's still daylight out. So, you know, it's in Hawaii at 7:30. It's dark. But here, of course, not. It probably won't get dark until 9 or 9:30. But one thing's for sure, the heavy heat of Texas, not as humid as it was when I was out on the East Coast, but hot nonetheless. But today was a day full of working meetings. Very, very full day. It'll get more busy as the week goes on. But working on a lot of stuff, and of course, working on some new opportunities for the show as well as we move forward. Do want to thank Kirk for getting the show prep done tonight. Him or I just basically 1 hour time difference, so he got home and got the prep done, and by the time I got in the studio here, well, in the hotel room, with my Mix Pre 6 as my studio, and got everything set up and got the show prep done and did a review, and we're pretty much synced up and ready to get into the regular content stack as we normally do here while we're on the road. But again, next this episode and the next three episodes will strictly be audio only, no video, nothing live. So as I said at the beginning, the show live as it can be. So thank you for all being here. And I did today, first time I've had one of these, a sugar-free lime edition Red Bull. And I drank this thing about 20 minutes ago, and I'll be honest with you, it's not doing it for me. Not like I'm kind of used to Red Bull giving me the kick. I don't know. I don't know what's different. For sure, I don't know, but anyway, gotta get back in the gym, be in the gym here in the hotel, this week. I'm, way off track with that, and get back on track, but, the Red Bull, sugar-free, 15 calories, so far, not super impressed, but I had a lime version of it, and, it's okay, it's different. So, one thing you'll notice on these, road shows, the audio chain is not as clean. Not the same breath suppressors between things. So I'm really self-conscious of it when I'm on the road because it's just different. The show sounds different to me, and, doing my best here to have the audio quality good, but then not at the same time going on you. All right, everyone. So switching into the, content that I have here. Netflix, I don't know what the deal here is with Netflix. Netflix is testing a new feature here, which inserts video promos between episodes of the show. Now, I've seen this a little bit on different platforms. The users have been involved in the testing have been expressing their outrage at what they see as the introduction of advertisements. And unlike some streaming services, such as the Roku channel, which offers free movies with ads, Netflix charges cold hard cash. We all pay monthly for that, which means all of us don't want to see commercials interrupting our binge watching. Netflix didn't get the memo. And according to TechCrunch, Netflix is testing whether it's a good idea to show users ads for its own shows in between episodes. And testers report that after an episode ends, a video for a Netflix original will start playing with the onus on the user to skip it. I don't agree with this. But while these video promos are skippable, they still unnecessarily intrude on a binge-watching session. Now, Amazon's been doing this for a while. You come off an episode, and it'll play two or three video promos, relatively short, I have always found it annoying, but Netflix is, what is this the start of? Is this the start of regular commercial advertising within Netflix? Is Netflix now going to become the new TV where we're stuck with ads, even paying for the service like we do our cable bills? Will you put up with it? Would you be willing to pay more to stop it? Because obviously this is revenue and listener driven. This is what a pretense to this is. I'm not a fan here, obviously. Now, Netflix did issue a statement. They said, we're testing whether surfacing recommendations between episodes helps a member discover stories. It's important to note that a member is able to skip a video preview at any time if they're not interested. Netflix says it conducts hundreds of tests every year, so we can better understand what helps members more easily find something great to watch. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how this goes. What do you all think? Feel free to send your comments to geeknews@gmail.com. All right, at DEF CON, there was a little bit of a test. How many of you have a printer that also is a scanner, that's also a fax machine? Again, scanner, fax machine, printer, what else will they do? They're an all-in-one, right? And to be frank with you, I don't remember the last time, I'm trying to grab a bottle of water here without knocking stuff over. Let me see if I can turn this far enough to do this here. I got it. And to be honest with you, I don't, I haven't used a fax in probably 6-7 months. I had to just fax something, which, you know, every once in a while I have to do that. Some businesses still require a fax, which is weird. I'd rather just send an email, you know, scan whatever I need to do, and then send that as a PDF attachment. But at DEF CON, some individuals unveiled how they infiltrated an HP OfficeJet 6830 all-in-one printer copy fax, and they hacked the machine and made it basically the ability to be a gateway into users' networks. That's where the weakness was. Now, they still had to get around the router, get into the fax machine, but they were able to do it. So they didn't do it via telephone line. They did it via the network connection that printer had. Now, to me, it shows a weakness to things. Shows a weakness to the router. Shows a weakness to the printer. And they were able to bypass both and then have a gateway in. Of course, they don't detail exactly how this was connected to the internet, so they may have been had an open connection, so maybe it was easier. I don't know. But they were able to get in, do some rummaging around. They figured out which code base it was running on, and then build a hack and be able to really exploit and get into the machine. There was no firewall or anything. Now, they let HP know about this, and HP did issue a patch to almost all of its printer lines, so you may have an update for your printer now if you have an HP printer. I have one at home. I think I've got a 7000 series, I think, I've had for a number of years. Matter of fact, printers now, I think, well, in Hawaii, it's unique because we got a lot of red dirt in the air. So electronics get beat up bad. And because I have no central air, and largely we cool the house by having the windows open, and still these red dirt particles come through the screens, it's hard on printers, especially gets in the gears and goops them up over time. So, you know, every 3 to 5 years, I have to replace a printer, whether I like it or not. It's just I've never put a cover over one of these because, you know, my kids are printing to it, my wife is, and back and forth. But anyway, they were able to hack this machine. But there is a patch that's been issued. You just never know how people are going to get into to websites these days or into your internal network. Microsoft. Let's talk about Microsoft search engine Bing. There's a good article, and this is just one guy's opinion, and this is an editor over there, senior editor at PC World, and he's been a big proponent of Bing for a number of years, but he started to see some weaknesses in Bing search. He says that news is getting lost, and he's finding himself having to go to Google more to find information on specific topics. And he used one topic, the ThinkPad. And he says he found like 3 relevant news articles on Bing where Google provided him a very big list. He talks about social network searching and how Bing used to be king of that, and now it's not so much. Google is starting to make some inroads there. Image search, he says, is just hit and miss at this point on Bing. But he said Bing's really taken a hit here. And one thing he was mind-boggled at was flight data. Flight data itself on Bing is completely bogged down by advertising. He says it's just a mess. And here's one thing he did. He said they'd recently launched a service to improve the hotel booking experience by aggregating third-party data, but the basic travel search still remains underpowered. Take a generic search, flights to Hawaii. You can make a basic assumption, as Bing does, that you want to fly into Hawaii's main airport in Honolulu. Both Bing and Google establish your origin airport via your location, which is fine, but Bing does 2 things wrong. One, it makes you click on a follow-up button to check flight information and fares, and 2, it should provide a list or drop-down menu of islands or airports. Bing does allow you to select how many passengers you want to bring, however, but they have real trouble in getting personalization done. And but anyway, they've got he goes on and blasts Bing quite a little bit. So what are you guys finding? What are you doing searching now? Are you just sticking to Google or using Bing? Are you using third-party searches? What are you finding most effective? Are you using Dogpile? Love to hear your feedback, geeknews@gmail.com. Fellas, this one, we win. Ladies, this is a heads up for you. Women, according to a survey and information that they've obtained, are 79% more likely to spend money on mobile games. This is crazy. I never thought it would be this high. Female users are 79% more likely than male users to make an in-app purchase in mobile games. Now, that's the distinct thing here. The data comes from a marketing report by Liftoff, a firm that studies mobile game market. Female users purchase in-app content 16.7% of the time after installing an app, and the report encourages app developers to focus on this segment of market in the future. The report states that although it takes 18 cents more to make an app appealing enough for a female user to install than a male user, a close 18 cents? That's it? That seems weird. That seems a weird number. 18 cents per install? A closer examination of conversion rates reveals females are, in fact, the most valuable gamers. The report looked at data collected in 350 apps between June of 17 and May of 18, showing that compared to the period between 16 and 17, female users' in-app purchases had nearly doubled. Wow. Beyond this insight, the Liftoff report also noted that getting iOS gamers to install apps and make in-app purchases costs more than recruiting Android ones. But once convinced, a gamer on iOS tends to spend more. Even so, the Android mobile market is expanding faster. About 1.5 million new devices are activated each day. Developers will still focus on both platforms. So, what do you see in your house? I know my daughter. I actually had to have a little counseling session with her over her gaming and her in-app purchases. She was, how it came to my attention is she has a credit card that's the same as my wife's credit card, and I didn't pay attention. I just saw it came from the specific bank, and I opened it up thinking it was my wife's credit card bill and it was my daughter's, and as I page through one page, 2 page of the credit card report and see all these micropayments, I freaked out. And that's what drove the conversation with my daughter. And subsequently, she has curbed her in-app purchasing because I pointed out the stupidity in what she was doing. And, you know, we broke it down. I got the calculator out and we went through three previous credit card bills. And when we laid the dollars and cents out, I was like, look at this. And it made a big difference. So make sure all of you are breaking down and figuring out what you're spending on these in-app purchases. What is your monthly bill? You may be surprised. Oh, it's a $2.99 here, $3 there, $5 here. You know, it adds up. And I've actually had a couple of situations with my youngest son. And as you know, we've talked over the years, he now has to come to me and ask explicit permission to buy something. And I've also allowed him to use his allowance on those types of purchases as long as we talk about it. So just got to be careful. This, I tell you what, in-app buying stuff, that's where the gold mine is, folks. That's where they're making millions of dollars on us. All right, a man has sued Google. We shouldn't be at all surprised about this, over the location history fiasco. And so it doesn't say if he's filed it. Has he filed a class action lawsuit? In the lawsuit, which was filed in federal court last Friday in San Francisco, attorneys represent a man named Napoleon Pascelli, argued that Google is violating the California Invasion of Privacy Act and state's constitutional rights to privacy. Yes, the lawsuit seeks class action status. It would be included both as an Android case and an iPhone case for the potential millions of people in the United States with such phones who turned off their location history and nonetheless had it recorded by Google. So we'll see if this makes class action status. But EFF also, on August 17th, wrote a sternly worded three-page letter to the FCC that Google practices are a clear violation of the 2011 settlement with the agency. In that settlement, Google agreed that it would not misrepresent anything related to, number one, the purpose for which it collects and uses covered information, and two, excuse me, the extent to which consumers may exercise control over the collection, use, or disclosure of covered information. Covered information, one of those being location data. So this could get very ugly for Google and the Android operating system here in a hurry. But this is big. This is, as we would expect, it is going to be big. Google's working on a new Chromecast that has Bluetooth and better Wi-Fi. For better or worse, the design is staying exactly the same, just that it's going to be enabling support for ongoing Bluetooth. The current model does have a Bluetooth chip, but it's only used during the initial setup process and can't be enabled afterwards. The FCC documents show that Google thought about just about sending a software update to the existing Chromecast to enable this functionality. But because this new model requires new equipment not covered by the original certification, the new version of the device requires a new FCC ID. Along with Bluetooth functionality, the new Chromecast will also offer improved Wi-Fi reception with the 5 gigahertz networks. So we'll see what this comes to, and when it comes to market, what it really, really means. This next topic is probably one of the coolest ones I've seen in a while. You do much shopping on eBay? Are you someone that searched for auto parts on eBay? You know, I'm always, you know, living in Hawaii, little things cost a lot. And so when I'm looking for specific items, I'll often go online to see if I can score them cheaper. But the problem is, unless you have a auto parts manual with a breakdown of particular parts, it's very, very hard to really know what the right part number is. It takes a lot of research. But the folks at eBay are getting to a kind of hobby, not in a hobby, but they're helping with folks that work on vehicles. They're launching a new feature that lets users shop by a diagram. This means as long as you know the model of the vehicle you're trying to fix, you'll be able to find parts based on its schematics, according to eBay. it stands about 49% of its customers end up buying the wrong parts, but hopefully with this new feature, it should reduce the error rate. This is cool. This is cool. So you actually be able to see the breakdown of the part diagram and be able to click on the right one that you want to order it. To me, this is really, really exciting. It really, really is, and should, you know, really make a big difference when it comes to shopping for repair parts on eBay, whether it be used or new. Skype is finally rolling out a feature that they talked about earlier in the year. Their end-to-end encrypted private conversation features is now available cross-platform. They announced this back in January, and when you chat with someone using this new private conversation feature, the whole conversation will be end-to-end encrypted. Hard to believe it hasn't been already. And the content will be hidden in both the chat list and notifications. So after months of testing, this feature is now available. So here's how to use this feature. Users can select new private conversation from the compose menu. Once a user starts a new private conversation, the recipient will receive an invite. After recipient accepts the invite, all calls and messages in that conversation will be encrypted end-to-end. Users can participate in only one private conversation from a single device at a time. Users can switch the conversation to other devices, but the messages they send and receive will be tied to the device they're using at the time, so the history won't roll into other devices. So that's kind of interesting. So on your phone, you can have a private conversation with the third party. Then you can switch to your computer and continue the private conversation with third party, but it only the new messages back and forth will be seen on the new device. So kind of an interesting move here. Very different than iMessage, where it's replicated across all devices that you have, that you're tied into, that you have iMessage turned on with. So what I put in my cell phone ends up on my computer, which ends up on my iPad, which, you know, it replicates. Some people do not like that. Twitch Prime members will lose ad-free viewing next month, all right? Twitch says its $8.99 per month turbo subscription will still offer ad-free viewing. So if you're a big Twitch user and you've been using Twitch Prime, of course, that's the Amazon-style benefits program, this will no longer include ad-free viewing as a complimentary perk starting on September 14th. The company initially announced this 2 years ago as a suite of benefits for Amazon Prime subscribers. Twitch Prime has grown into a more robust platform. It offers free games and game loot and select titles and monthly channel subscription credit that can be awarded to a streamer of the member's choice. So all those members are remaining part of Twitch Prime, and the only aspect of the service that is changing going forward is the ad-free viewing. Now, I think that's the extent of the news, but you can go to Twitch Turbo, which is a separate tier where it costs $8.99 a month. Twitch still does not offer Twitch Prime as a standalone service, likely because Amazon wants Prime to continue looking like a good deal. Even as it raises the monthly and annual cost, Amazon bumped monthly Prime membership by 18% back in January to $12.99. So we already know that. But Twitch Prime is just one of the many benefits of paying for Prime. So very, very cool. So check it out. No more ad-free viewing on Twitch. Gotta make the money. You notice it's all about making the money. Ads, 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 and more ads, right? Apple's planning a low-cost MacBook and a pro-focused Mac Mini. The Mac Mini really hasn't been updated in about 4 years. Of course, I had to replace a Mac Mini recently. I would not need a Mac Mini Pro anyway. But you know, the previous Mac that I had was about 7 years, and it turns out that Mac Mini that we replaced may have more issues than just a hard drive issue. I've had some trouble rebuilding that machine even after putting an SSD in it, the one that we replaced. So you have to figure out what's going on with that box. But anyway, a low-cost MacBook and a pro-focused Mac Mini could be coming on the scene here very, very quickly. This next article, I was having a hard time fully understanding this, but this is something that's interesting. It's a wireless system that can track tumors and help dispense drugs. So it's called Wireless System to Track Tumors. It's called In-Body GPS, a system that can pinpoint the location of ingestible implants inside the body using low-powered wireless signals. All right, so what does this mean? Researchers at MIT developed Remix that in animal tests demonstrated it can track implants with centimeter-level accuracy. In the future, doctors can implant a sensor to track tumors or even dispense drugs using this non-invasive wireless system. They said, we want a model that's technically feasible while still complex enough to accurately represent the human body. So according to the team, such systems could help enable more widespread adoption of proton therapy, of which there are only about 1,000 globally. According to the team, one reason that proton therapy is so expensive that is the cost of installing the hardware. So what they did is they implanted a small marker in animal tissue. To track its movement, they used a wireless device that reflects radio signals at the patient and a special logarithm to pinpoint the exact location of the marker. Did they think it was going to move? The team using a wireless technology that they previously demonstrated to detect heart rate, breathing, and movement, the marker inside the body does not need to transmit any wireless signal. It simply reflects the signal transmitted by a device outside the body, not needing a battery or any other external energy source. So the ability to continually sense inside the human body has largely been a distant dream. So I guess what this does, I would assume, I guess this technology just can, I don't fully understand it yet. What this actually can, you know, if you're going to put this next to a tumor and then wirelessly dispense drugs, I get that. But the way this article is written, it's act like this sensor's moving around, and it's, I don't think that's the actual case, to be honest with you. So we'll see. I don't know. I guess we're going to have to find more from it. Sounds interesting, but I don't fully understand it yet. So it's actually called Remix, R-E-M-I-X. Any medical people out there, if you can figure this out completely, you know, school me up here, geeknews@gmail.com. On a completely different tract of content here, antivirus software isn't enough. 5 things you must do to avoid malware. This is a good article over makeuseof.com, talking about catching phishing emails with a spam filter, talking about using encrypted email, talking about trusted browsers and extensions, checking links before you click, and also using VPN services. So this is just some things they're recommending that people should do. Link will be up in the show notes for you to review. Also, dads and moms, have you ever, when you were a kid, did you ever use a water rocket? Did you ever make a water rocket or buy one of those little kits that is a water rocket? You ever built one of those? They're awful fun. They really, really are. And if you haven't launched a water rocket with your kid, you're missing out on a great opportunity just basically by using about $10 worth of parts and an air pump and an empty soda bottle. You can learn some elementary rocketry and you can build your own. And it's pretty easy to do. So I'll have the link up in the show notes. It's a nice little fun afternoon project that can be relaunched many times. You don't have to have a huge expendable except for water and some air. A link will be up for you to check that out. Also, the 20 best movies to watch Amazon Prime right now. Got a good list of new movies that are out that are available. Have that link up in the show notes for you to review. How many of you are still getting notifications when you go on websites about the GDPR privacy laws? How many of you get these pop-ups every once in a while? I'll be honest, I haven't seen too many, but I don't, you know, I am, of course, we're loading a lot of different websites doing this show prep, but I'm still not seeing these. So, you know, them companies informing you of their privacy is generally a good thing, right? What they're doing with your data. But if you're getting a little sick of it, there's a bookmarklet that will let you suppress some of these privacy pop-ups. And so anyway, I'll have this link up in the show notes. If you're kind of getting sick of that, that's something you can check out. That's a recommendation from the folks over at lifehacker.com. Ever send an email that you want to unsend in your mobile device? Very hard to do it. You can do it in Google's undo send in Gmail on your desktop, but Google is now finally bringing to market its undo send feature on Android, via Gmail on Android. So that will now be a new feature that's being introduced. I don't think I've ever hit the undo button. I generally find those things don't work real well. I know that they give you a limited amount of time before for it to work, but the undo send feature is coming to Gmail for Android, and I apologize for coughing on you. Samsung's 8K TV launch is going to happen at IFA 2018, so that's kind of exciting. Now, it's no secret that Samsung's been working on the 8K TV, and while many of you may not have been upgraded to 4K yet, the 8K TV is coming to the IFA, or the 8K TV is being released supposedly at the IFA convention in Berlin later this month. How much is that bad boy going to cost? Now, Samsung showcased its K9s 8K TV at CES in January, and it also mentioned it during a presentation at the QLED and Advanced Display Conference a couple of months back that it would be releasing multiple 8K TVs this year. I don't know. I just don't, you know, do we really need 8K? Don't even have a lot of 8K cameras. How many of you get the same ads when you're going on pages? How would you like to control what ads Google shows you? Internet-based ads are at best when there are things that you're actually interested in. Actually, I think we're all pretty annoyed with all ads. And so there's great ways to block specific ads. And I do this all the time on Facebook. I see an ad again and again and again and again, and it becomes annoying. But there's some instructions here on how to suppress some ads inside Google services and Google ads on other websites and things you can do to stop some of those same ads from popping up that are annoying you. Link will be in the show notes on how you can turn these specific ads off. I'm always afraid if I turn ads off too much, I start getting something else that's going to annoy me. And you're also honing their search results on what they're presenting to you when you start clicking on stuff that annoys you. So I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing to be able to suppress some of these ads. There was an iPad battery explosion happened in Apple's Amsterdam retail store on Sunday. The fire department had everyone evacuated so the hazardous substance could dissipate. Nobody was harmed. The retail store was closed for proper ventilation. But this is not the first time a battery has exploded. So this is a good reminder. If you've got old devices laying around with batteries in them, and even if those devices, you're never going to use them again, have batteries you can remove, take those batteries out and properly dispose of them. Usually you can turn them in to a lot of retail stores will let you turn in lithium ion batteries because these batteries over time get weird. We do on a periodic basis in my house. I do an inspection on all because we've got lots of devices that have just, they're kind of like in this archive of stuff that will never be used again. You know, I've got iPhones going all the way back. And I look at those, we don't charge them anymore, of course, but I look at those devices, make sure we're not seeing battery swelling. If you got devices that you're not using anymore, run those batteries out if there's any charge left in them, just so that you don't get in a situation where you've got a battery that's swelling and then causing you a problem, especially if it's one you're not using. So just keep an eye out there on your devices. And if you're starting to see something deform, that's a good time to get a disposal going, especially if you can't take the battery out. It can really make for a bad day and burn your house down. So just be aware of it, okay? Switching gears here, Netflix has completed their purge of user reviews from its website. We knew this was happening. Netflix used to have user reviews or shows on its website, but as you might have heard, as we talked about last month, they announced that they would be doing away with it, and sure enough, that has happened. Netflix has completely purged websites of user reviews, which means if you wanted to read it or submit a review, you no longer can. So they removed it because they said it was a decline in usage. People were not using the feature anymore. This next story comes kind of interesting. Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey explains the company's stance on fake news. According to Dorsey, he claims that Twitter had yet to figure out fake news and thus is reluctant to outright remove posts that are deemed to be false. He reiterated what Twitter's head of publicity policy for the UK said earlier this year, in which he said it would be dangerous for the company's staff to start acting as arbiters of truth. It appears that Twitter is trying to paint themselves as a neutral party, but whether or not it's coming off this way is probably up for debate. But anyway, there's a good interview. It was on CNN. How do you have millions of tweets? How can you even start to even think about being able to police that? To me, I just don't know how it's even possible. Isn't it more important that we only follow on people on Twitter that we trust and feel are a good source of information? Wouldn't that be up to us? What do y'all think about that? I'm pretty careful on who I follow on Twitter. I don't add a lot of people. You know, 2-3 a week maybe. And it's usually someone that is working the space I'm involved in or someone I want to follow. I already kind of know who they are. How are you picking your Twitter followers? How are you picking the people? Are you just randomly adding people? Or would those be people that you can't trust? Logitech is coming out with a vertical mouse. And I'm always looking for different ways to, new innovative ways for using a mouse. I've been a big trackball fan for years. But I switched up. On this trip, I'm using a regular mouse, no trackball. But this new sideways vertical mouse is saying could help with carpal tunnel. And I think it's good to change positions. And this is why I have two or three different mice that I switch between from time to time. And this looks like a new one. It's called the MK Ergo. And how much is it going to cost? Let me look here. Does it say what the price tag on it's going to be? Yeah, it's going to be about $100. It's not going to be cheap. But it turns your hand sideways. But if you've been suffering or have suffered from carpal tunnel before, it's good to have a couple of different type of mice to be able to change your hand position a little bit. This might be a good one. It looks very interesting. So the link will be up in the show notes for you to review. Windows Phone will continue a slow march to death through 2019. Microsoft made some announcements. Microsoft announced it will stop accepting new app submissions for Windows 8 or earlier on October 31st. Then on July 1, 2019, Microsoft will stop distributing apps updates to Windows 8. Microsoft said it will continue making updates available to Windows 10 devices, but it doesn't mention Windows 10 Mobile. The version of Windows 10 built for Windows phones with new apps or updates, another nail was hammered into the Windows phone's coffin. I know some guys are, made their life made their lifestyle. They made their living on Windows app. So this can be a change of pace for them. It's being reported the Essential Phone Fire Sale continues, now just $224. So that's a pretty good deal. And it was marked down to $250 on Amazon Prime Day. Now it was down to $224. It might be an opportunity to pick up a real nice Android phone. Amazon Essentials or Amazon Basics. These are basic tech products that are actually pretty good. As an example, the Amazon Basics USB hub, a whopping $6.99. There's the Amazon Basic Metal Monitor Stand, again, $14.95. They've got a stylus. They've got wired keyboards. They have a wired mouse, lightning cables, you name it. Relatively inexpensive. I like the Amazon Basic AA alkaline batteries. Typically when we're going to shows like CES, we go through a lot of alkalines because we just can't charge stuff fast enough. And I used to buy Duracells, but these Amazon Basic batteries are much cheaper, and I can ship them into the location at no cost, which is nice. Amazon Basic Thunderbolt to HDMI adapter, everything from search protectors, gaming keyboards, you name it. Again, these are Amazon Basics. If you haven't checked out that line, you get a chance to do here through the article in the show notes. Also, Amazon is slashing price on Echo devices, and it's not even Prime Day. You can get the Echo Plus with a free Hue bulb for $100 and the Echo Show for $130. I've got an Echo Show. Worthless product. I'm going to be frank. It's worthless. Don't buy it. You don't need something with a screen. You really, really don't. It's frankly overkill. I have it on my desk only because I paid for it. Otherwise, I never look at the screen. Also, there's some student discounts on Lifehacker. Everything from hardware and software, different stuff that's available, deals they've done some roundups on. That'll be up in the show notes. Also, a little drone. These little inexpensive drones, to me, are pretty exciting, good starter packages for people to fly some drones. And if you crash it, it's not going to be a big deal. So it's called the Eachine, Eachine, E56. It features an accelerometer-powered remote, an HD camera, and even a carrying case. $30. Can't go very far with it. But for $30, come on. There's a little bit of a learning curve to fly it, but again, it's pretty small. Now, you get about 6 to 7 minutes of flying time with it, which isn't long, but these are nice options for kids and novice flyers. I've been looking for something. My son has borrowed my drone a couple of times, and it goes out the door with much apprehension. And I'm thinking, what can I do? He hasn't got a lot of flight hours on him, but I could get him one of these and he could get some new stick time. He can fly this. He can fly my big drones, no problem. So these are great. You can buy a couple of them. Let him smash them before you let him fly the big drone. Over on tomsguide.com, they've got a rundown of all the top phones getting Android Pie. Everything from Pixel 2, 16 and 17, to the Essential Phone, to Sony phones, Motorola, Nokia, HTC, and more. Of course, Samsung and others. The full list is in the show notes. So if you want to know if you're an Android user, if you're getting Android Pie in the near future, you definitely can look at this list that's available from Tom's Hardware. Also, the OnePlus 6T coming in October could be priced at $550. OnePlus is the next flagship smartphone, likely to be called the OnePlus 6. It's going to be launched in October. Now, this is a Chinese company, and the OnePlus is reportedly signed a deal with T-Mobile, which means the OnePlus 6T will be the first smartphone from the Shenzhen-based startup to be sold by a U.S.-based network operator. All right. That brings me to the end. Just as my nose started to run. Hey, if you have comments on today's show, definitely want to hear from you. Again, this is a road show. Road shows typically run a little faster than the normal shows, even though I'm looking at the clock here and we're fast approaching 50 minutes. I want to thank you for being with me here as I'm dealing with a little jet lag and having had a very, very full day today. Get this one in the can and get it out for you. Again, thanks for Kirk for doing the pre-show production. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being part of the family. Thank you for your insider donations. It's greatly appreciated. We've had an uptick in people that are coming in and being insiders. The insider page has been updated at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Of course, don't forget our primary sponsor, GoDaddy. And your support is greatly, greatly appreciated. We got some new stuff coming soon. More on that as it becomes available. It's been my pleasure bringing the show. We'll be back with you on Thursday for another edition of the Geek News Central podcast. Everyone take care. Aloha.